Scarpins Audio.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of View from the Cheap Seats, where we break down the week in sports.
We do it in a funny way. We try and give as much comedy to the situation as possible. There were huge stories that happened this week.
Yes, we've been following the world of sports and looking for interesting angles and takes. We have a great guest on the show today. Our main guest on the show today is Giannis Pappas. He's a fantastic stand-up comedian from New York and one of the few stand-up comedians who is well-versed in the world of sports.
Yeah, he did a show on MSG, did he not?
Called the Bracket, I believe,
with our buddy Chris DiStefano. And he's
among other things,
has had an amazing and interesting take on the world of sports, which is something rare you find in the comedy world. So when we get him, we got him.
We seize it.
It's good. And then later on the show,
Carpe
Pappas. And later on the show, we got a little voicemail from Nick Cage. He likes to leave voicemails from time to time. Interested to see that new movie he's doing where he goes crazy as a chef called Pig. He may talk about that. We're going to get into all that with him. But first, I don't know if you watched the All-Star Game.
Which I did watch the All-Star Game.
Received almost 8.6 million people at its height. Actually, the Home Run Derby, 8.6 million people watched it at its height. Do you know what NBA game three of the NBA finals between Milwaukee and
9 million?
9 million.
So pretty close. People who are saying baseball's on life support. It's not.
Interesting I bring that up only to state, okay? Basketball has its, you know, the storylines in basketball are fascinating and amazing. You've got Chris Paul vying for his first ring. You've got Giannis. Speaking of Giannis Pappas, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who has an opportunity he's literally putting the team on his back, on his injured leg, mm-hmm. and trying to carry them across the finish line.
Two franchise that haven't had a championship in 50 years or ever.
Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, who looks like he's Uncle Drew's uncle. Yep. His great uncle Drew.
It's fascinating, but there isn't a New York team in it. There isn't. The Lakers aren't
Chicago,
in it.
Chicago, Miami,
not in
Boston,
Steph
Brooklyn's
not in
you
it.
You don't have it. San Francisco, so it's
Kevin
smaller
Durant
market.
Is not in it.
Smaller market teams. And so the problem is you're just not captivating the general population, people who aren't fans. What are people who aren't fans of basketball going to latch on to? The casual fan. You can't just say, I'm watching LeBron James, I'm watching the greatest of all time, I'm watching Steph Curry, who's fun to watch, has fun while he's playing. I'm not a fan of basketball, but I like watching them. You're not hearing a lot of that.
Right.
Where you are hearing that is in baseball, and which is why the Home Run Derby was so watched, mm-hmm. which was fascinating. Pete Alonso just crushed the hell out of the ball. It was.
But I would argue the reason why people were watching was Shohei Ohtani.
Of course.
Showtime.
This dude is amazing. He's like a myth. He's so big. He's like this. He almost looks like a cartoon character come to life. Like if you were drawing like a character of like a Japanese, you know what
superhero.
I mean?
Superhero. He looks like Superman, like a Japanese Superman.
Like that he literally came out the pages of a comic book, can throw the ball with fire coming off of
100 miles an hour.
100 hit triple digits on the gun as a starting pitcher and crush the hell out of the ball. He's got some of the quickest bat speed I've ever seen. His bat speed is amazing. His swing is beautiful.
His ability to turn on a ball.
Effortless, incredible. He is amazing, and he is the face of baseball. Now, this week, Stephen A. Smith stepped in it big time. And
what are we talking about, Skip?
Come on, Skip. There is no Skip. He literally stepped in it, and the truth of it is, he could have avoided it so easily.
So basically, for those who don't know, Stephen A. Smith, who's a outspoken pundit for ESPN, essentially said that Shohei Ohtani will not be a massive superstar because he refuses to learn English and speaks through an interpreter. And essentially, without saying it, was like, we're not going to get behind this foreign dude.
Right. And he then, to his credit, Stephen A. Smith, I would say he went 90% towards a full-throated apology, okay? He thinks he went 110%, but I saw it as 90%, okay? to a full-throated apology. And he did say, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that my words would cause this. The fact that he didn't realize it, like, we should also take a look at, that's the 10% that I want him to take a look at. But, you know, and he needs to say, he needs to go one step further and say, I need to look at the way I view all these things and the way I prepare for these shows because I was lazy and that was wrong.
Well, so, a week earlier, he did a take on, like, why aren't we marketing this guy more? And then he said, well, there's no way to market this guy because he's refusing to learn English.
But he did apologize, and now we're having the discussion. So to Stephen A's credit, he's putting
the discussion,
and he's putting himself out there to be like, let me be the lightning rod to then have this discussion, which I think is great. And ESPN, they actually did handle it well by bringing on an Asian American writer to sit and talk to him about it and literally explain to him why it was so hurtful in which ways. And Stephen A took it, man. I give him credit. But he could have solved it so easily. If he just would have done a quarter turn and said, Shohei Ohtani is the best thing in baseball, period. Hands down, it is the greatest thing in baseball, period.
Maybe one of the best stories in the last 20 years.
Exactly. So he's amazing. He's incredible. He deserves to be the face of baseball, and I think it can happen. Now, am I worried? Here's why I'm worried. And I'm not worried for me because I love him. I think he's incredible. I am worried because I think there are elements of our country, and I think this is wrong, elements of our country that won't accept him because he speaks through an interpreter, and we need to blast that out of the water. So if he would have gone at it from that angle, same angle, he's right, basically saying the same thing.
Right.
It's just, if a quarter turns it so that he's on Shohei's side, it's a completely different thing. So he gets his point across that this might be a layer that regular people won't be able to get behind, but he's saying it from a thing of like, we need to eliminate that.
I think he doesn't even have to go that far. I think it could be as simple as he could have said, look, this guy is the best thing that's happened to baseball in a very long time.
Period.
He has good looks also.
He's good looking.
He's a good looking dude, and he has charisma. You can see he has charisma and he has presence.
Yep.
And if Stephen A is like, if he wants to, and this is an if, this is only if for him, if he wants to make a dent in American culture beyond baseball, if he wants to become a personality, a marketable in the same way that LeBron is marketable, right, in the same way that right, these other guys are marketable, if he wants to find his way into the public consciousness in America and take that next step to cementing being a superstar on the Michael Jordan level of things, he may have to learn how to speak the language of the country that he's in order to connect with people on a non-baseball level. If he just made it about that, and if he said, look, and then again, maybe he could point to, like you said, that's, you know, unfortunately, the reality of the situation
and
of the people
sucks,
of our country.
And I would love to change that, but you might have to change this first.
Stephen A., you are a voice. Stephen A., I love listening to him on the radio.
Love him.
I think he is fantastic.
Love him.
He is a voice of inclusion, yep, certainly for African-American athletes.
He fights for minorities all the time.
He fights for minorities all the time. So I think that's also why this felt like a weird swipe. Like, he wasn't the guy to be doing this. Like,
right.
I could see if Alex Jones went out there on something.
Right, and then I would have seen Stephen A. come to the rescue and say, that's BS. That's bullshit. Don't do that.
It just felt like he made a misstep. And he tried to clean it up, but I agree with you. He didn't quite go all the way there.
What he needed to say is, I need to look at all the things and not be so lazy.
There
and that's it. And say, like, look, I pride myself on preparedness. I prepare every take. I research it, you know, and I have my take airtight. But that one wasn't, and I need to prepare. And so, you know, yep, what? I actually think Shohei Ohtani could be the type of guy that maybe doesn't need to lose the interpreter, and he becomes this.
Fernando Valenzuela didn't need an interpreter.
He becomes.
Fernando Valenzuela didn't need to drop the interpreter in order to capture everyone's
love
and attention.
My point is that I think he could be this new thing, this sort of nonverbal thing, this sort of, you know, he could rise above it and transcend it in such a way because of his play on the field. By the way, people are going to imitate not the way he talks, but the way he swings the bat. Kids are going to just imitate him and want to be him.
People come to the ballpark. Nobody comes to the ballpark to say, what's the interview going to be like?
What's his soundbite? No, they go to watch him, and this guy's the most watchable guy in baseball, like bigger than anybody else, bigger than Mookie Betts, bigger than Justin Turner.
I would argue bigger than Mike Trout.
I would argue bigger than Mike Trout, too. So, I mean, maybe the problem is he's in Los Angeles in Anaheim, which is like being in the witness protection program. But you know what? With Mike Trout coming back, maybe they make a run. Maybe this guy needs a little postseason run, really, to get in the consciousness of everybody. I love him, Stephen A. Smith. Just go that extra 10% and say, I need to prepare better, and I was lazy, and then I think it's all behind you. All right, that is it. That is our top take. When we come back, Giannis Pappas, I'm so excited to get into it with him. Because to have a comedian who's got a comedic take on the world of sports is like having gold. Gold in the studio. We'll be right back with more of you from the Cheap Seats right after this. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. We are so psyched to have this dude on. We've been a fan of his comedy. It's rare that dudes do sports and comedy together. It's a very rare thing. I mean, I think some comedians are fans of sports. A lot of them hate sports,
which is kind of why a lot of people got into comedy,
because they're like, the athletes gave me shit, and so now, but we also feel like you see it in the way that we do. There's a lot to make fun of in the world of sports. There's a lot to sort of dig into. There's a lot of blind spots that athletes have. We're of course talking about Giannis Pappas. How you doing, buddy?
Good, and you're absolutely right about that. And the best and only way to make fun of sports is with other comedians, because I've had a sports show,
yeah,
and you are not allowed to make fun of the athletes to
right.
the athletes. Like, the publicists come in right away. They're like, okay, we have these deals. Don't
yep.
say anything.
Yeah. Right. And they tie your arms behind you. There's
Aren't you
worse.
Amazed at like how they... I'm like, you guys should have a sense of humor about yourself. Like, life is good for you. You're making tons of money. You're doing what you love to do. Like, Aaron Rodgers gets it. Aaron Rodgers makes fun of himself. Aaron Rodgers cuts himself down and is like, relaxed. Like, this is the thing. Aaron Rodgers gets it. Tom Brady does not.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, look, this isn't a dictatorship. All right. You're not Kim Jong-un. I can make fun of you. Stop making me feel like this is North Korea. This is America. So,
yes.
Derek Jeter, I want to joke about how you should be in the Hall of Fame for putting up pussy numbers as well.
I mean, he put them up.
We should be able to do that.
He put
Derek
him
Jeter, you should be in the Hall of Fame for gift baskets given. Like,
yeah, you
oh,
should
you
be
set
in,
a record, like
be
a
in
Sammy
the
Sosaian record.
Bath and Body Works Hall of Fame. First balloter right there. Crabtree and Evelyn, you're at the top, buddy.
He's that's classy. That's class. Like,
he
if you fuck
dude.
Someone and then in the morning there's a gift basket for you.
Boom.
Top,
so,
top.
So, but...
I mean, it's just
we joke about
it's
that.
What he it's preparation. He it's attention to detail. It's understand having a game plan before you go in. Did you watch the All-Star game, by the way? Did you watch the All-Star game?
I didn't watch this All-Star game.
Okay.
I didn't, but I did watch the home run derby.
What'd you think?
And that
of
is
it?
The most impressive. I mean, this hasn't been done since Babe Ruth. It's pretty crazy.
Does Pete Alonso to you feel like a Cro-Magnon man? Like a guy who hasn't fully evolved yet? I feel like I was watching him dance and I'm like, you're not really dancing to the music, and yet you can take big stick and hit ball very, very far.
I think he just reminds me of a guy who wants to hit things hard.
Right. And thank God he's playing
baseball and not banging on like kids or something.
Right. Yeah, no, to me, he feels like a guy who's figured out a way to get around the current steroid testing.
Right. He's maybe, he figured something
Whatever
out.
He's taking is so undetectable.
Dude, his traps, like you could take a sledgehammer to and not even get a dent into that.
He's going to have a great rest of his career, and then we'll probably lose him just like Ken Caminiti.
Right. Oh, may he rest in peace. Or not. Let me ask you this about Pete Alonso, and because you're in New York, and about the Mets. He is, like, amazing. Why can't the Mets give any run support whatsoever to the greatest pitcher of our time right now in the National League?
The Mets, I think they're cursed. I think some type of transfer happened from the Cubs to the Mets.
Yeah.
Where they sort of just... Because curses
all.
Don't, you know, energy's never created or destroyed.
It
just changes forms.
It transforms.
It transforms.
It
just went on the
transfers.
Right.
What we're dealing with now is just like we're dealing with the Delta variant with coronavirus, another strain.
Uh-huh.
We're just dealing with another strain of curse that has mutated to the Mets.
To the Mets.
Yeah.
And it shows you how much of sports is mental. How much
it also shows you how ingenious the CCP is.
Yeah, yeah. They're just incredible. Like the fact that they can transfer, they can do, they can cyber attack. Yeah. They can move curses around.
Yeah.
I mean, they're frustrating fan bases. It's kind of amazing. Mm-hmm. What you have to give credit where credit is due.
They are a surreptitious bunch.
Mm-hmm. That is, yeah. Absolutely. Well, I mean, I kind of am like, the Mets have a lot of pieces. They should, and also the National League East is just garbage. It's just dog shit. So like, anybody can win. Like
well, the Mets are on top right now.
By the
now.
Way, the whole National League is dog shit. Because when you except for the Dodgers, when you think about it, when has the National League won the All-Star game? Can you remember who was president? No.
Like never.
Before the iPhone.
Was it before the iPhone?
Yeah,
yeah maybe.
I don't even remember. And you can't even blame the DH advantage, right? Because they switch it every year, correct?
Why do you think that is? Because, look, the Dodgers won, the Nationals won. So you've had, it's not like only American League teams are winning. It's not like the Golden State Warriors and the member of the West was just so good for so long and no one, the East, you're like, the winner champion's not going to come out of the East in basketball. It's like there are National League teams that win, whereas the team maybe is designed better to win. And if the Astros hadn't cheated, then the Dodgers would have won in 2017 too. When was the last National League?
The National League has won three times since 1997.
That's unreal, dude.
Three times.
I think part of that is because one league has the word American in it.
Yeah.
And well, so, you know, one's a little more patriotic. And then the other side, maybe they're flirting with communism. I mean, I don't know.
I'll say this, Nat, we're flirting with nationalism in our country. And maybe they've got the wrong way. We need to be
1963. This is like Michigan versus Ohio State. 1963 to 1985. So that's 22
years span.
The American League won three times.
So the balance of power has shifted. So in the last 24 years, 23 years, the National League has won three times and the American League has won 20 times. Now, are they still doing the thing where the winner of this game determines who gets home field advantage or is it
Which is the stupidest rule. I mean, I hate that. I mean, it's like, why give the team the advantage that was won by a bunch of guys that aren't on that team?
Number one. And number two, I think voting for the All-Star game should be changed. I think to me it feels like, and we talked about this last week on the show, but it feels like a student government. It's a popularity contest. Like you tell me,
They're saying it's no longer determined.
Okay. Fernando Tatis Jr. is one of my favorite players. Okay. I think he's one of the best dudes. He was mic'd up during the game yesterday.
Yeah.
And Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hits a home run and Tatis says something to him at Joe Buck is in his ear and
Joe Buck's like, say something to him
as he runs by. And he says something in Spanish that we can't understand. And, you know, Stephen A. Smith lost his shit about that. Kidding. But the point is that, like, he says something to him in Spanish and then Tatis just starts laughing. And I'm like, how do you not love this guy? This guy is the greatest. Not only is he a great player, not only can he jump in the air and then while he's in the air, jump even higher, video game style. He will never not be voted to an All-Star. Whether he has a good first half or not, he's never going to not be voted in. So I think the coaches and sports writers should pick the starters and then let the fans pick everybody else. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you had that same issue, I think, with like in basketball. I remember when Yao Ming was playing, he would just like, I think he retired and they still voted him in.
The next 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, he was just, there's certain guys, if you have a whole country behind you or if you have a great personality or, you know, if you know how to, you know, some hackers who can really, you know, get into
Again,
the computer.
Russia. God damn it.
Dude, Russia.
Yao Ming was like running a vineyard and they asked him to like come back and be the All-Star game. Like, wait a minute, what?
That's why I love that Yao Ming was running a vineyard. I mean, that dude.
I think the coaches and the players
should vote for the
All-Stars.
Yeah,
the starters.
Yeah.
And then let the fans let the fans vote for the relief pitchers.
So exactly.
Who cares about the fans?
The middle relief pitchers, that's all you get.
You don't get the closers.
No.
Nobody appreciates the middle. It's crazy. Like, the closer gets a lot of credit, but he only pitches for like three outs usually. The starter gets a lot of credit. He gets shelled all the time.
Yeah.
Often games are won or lost with your bullpen. And those guys, I mean, they get no credit, dude. They're like the sweatshop of baseball.
That's right.
Underappreciated.
They created a stat for them, holds.
Right. But no one's like, he got into the Hall of Fame with 257 holds. No one will ever say that. But it is true. So
the only person with more holds is Jeffrey Epstein, folks.
but Giannis, think about this. The idea that, like, if you start, you aren't going to have that big of an impact unless you hit a home run at the very beginning. Really, the impact happens later in the game.
In the All-Star
game. So you want to be a starter, but you want the chance to win the game, like you're saying, or close the door at the end. So it's important to be the starting pitcher. But, like, Max Scherzer pitched three outs, and then Corbin Burnes came in, and he pitched like Corbin Burnson in Major League. I'm like, this guy sucks.
Terrible.
Well, you know what it is? Like, I truly believe the All-Star game shouldn't be taken seriously. Like, just lean into it not mattering. It should be a break for the players. It should be a fun thing for the fans. They should do fun games, like have a fan go in a water tank and then have pitchers, you know, dunk the fans.
Yeah.
You know,
that'd be great.
Home run derby, 3-point contest.
Yeah.
Those are the dunk contest. That's what you want to see. You don't really care about the game.
The
game
doesn't matter.
Yeah,
man. The game doesn't matter. So I say, and I've always wanted to see this, just put a regular person, and they have to put a regular person on their team.
Giannis Papiskas.
You decide where you put them.
Like, where do you put them?
Do you put your two outfielders like this and put that person in the middle and, like, have them cover all the ground? And it's like, now you got to cover for a liability.
Now you're talking strategy.
Now it's like, okay, so you got, like, a mom of six from Saddle Creek, you know, New Jersey.
Maryland.
Or wherever. And she's from Bethesda, Maryland. And now you got to put her in. And you got to find a place.
She won a contest.
How great would that be to announce?
Dude, it's amazing. Like,
Bertha from Wisconsin to Bradley Beal for the dunk.
Yes.
She feeds. She alleys.
Fly ball to deep left field. Sheila Abramson underneath it.
She's camping underneath it. There is no way she's going to catch
this. There's no way she's going to catch it. She has her purse on.
So if you want to know how difficult it is to just catch a normal fly ball, watch the home run derby, where these guys, when they don't hit it out, have you ever seen a kid on the field catch them?
And yes, I know most of these kids don't have dads, but still.
Nobody has ever caught a fly ball.
So Randy and I, we did a special for ESPN years ago trying to get Jose Oquendo into the Hall of Fame.
As a utility man.
And we went out onto the field during the All-Star game, and it was in Houston at Minute Maid Park.
Yep.
And I tried to catch a line drive from Albert Pujols.
Wait, before you got on the field, did they give you buzzers to know where the ball was going to be hit?
Jose Altuve let us know what.
Because you guys were in Houston,
trash can, right?
It is Houston.
That system works a certain way.
It does. So Pujols hits one, and it's like curving towards the left field line, and I'm in left field, like we're playing the wall, basically.
We played in high school. We're like, we know what we're doing. Like, we know how to play baseball.
And this ball was dropping and curving towards the line so fast, I couldn't get it. I couldn't catch it. I had a beat on it. I knew what I was doing. I was in, like, shorts and, like, a jersey, and I had my glove on. Like, I had tennis shoes, sneakers. Like, I had every chance to catch the ball. I was probably 35 years old.
You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it because these guys play on such an unbelievably different level. You can stand out in the field, but you're not going to do it. But I love that idea. Normal person in the field.
One normal person, and you got to cover them up.
I'm watching that.
Yeah. If you can hit, like, let's say if you get Chapman out there, mm-hmm. and if a normal person can hit 103, just like 103 mile an hour fastball, then that family gets a Kia.
Right. No. If you get a hit off Aroldis Chapman and you're just a banker, or you're just like a guy who works
$1 million.
No,
it has to be $1 million.
You should get the Bobby Bonilla contract. $1 million every year for the next 30 years from the Mets.
That's a good one. And if you hit a ground ball just as a consolation prize, you get to live in Cuba.
There you go.
He gets to come.
Nothing
wrong with
the
dream.
Cuba. Which is the dream.
I've been to Cuba.
It is the dream.
Wonderful.
Right now.
Cuba's amazing.
What did you make of watching the home run derby? Obviously, Juan Soto beat Shohei Ohtani in an epic battle that went so
two rounds. Yeah.
No, it went it went to the overtime for a minute, and then they tied at that, and then it went to three swings, and I mean, it was just an incredible. And Soto, to his credit, was just bombing. But how much do you love this Ohtani kid? Like, it's hard not to love, but, like, I don't give a shit that he doesn't speak English. I'm like, this dude is the coolest.
He's Japanese Superman.
I mean, it's incredible. I mean, this hasn't been done. I mean, is there any other person besides Ruth?
No. I think it's on par with And I really do. I know it's a separate thing, but in terms of like shockingness, you know, like in terms of shocking me or at least doing something new, to me, it's on par with Bo Jackson playing two sports or Deion Sanders.
Right.
Like, it's just beyond.
Like, it's more like Bo Jackson because Bo Jackson was actually pretty good on the Royals. Like he was a
Deion
good
Sanders wasn't bad, man. Deion Sanders was not a bad player on the Braves. Like, because I remember when like. Didn't they have
there was a 30 for 30, 30 for 30 where he flew to like three different events and tried to play on all the things. Yes, but Bo Jackson was like a legit player for the Royals. Like he was in the mix for them.
Yeah, he was an all-star. He was incredible when you think of what he did. You're like, that's just it's never going to – how can that be done again?
Bo Jackson is probably the most like superhuman athlete. When you think about that, the guy got injured by his own force. I mean, in baseball, he was decent, but like when you watch him as a football player, you're going, that is a human tank. That's like it's superhuman strength, like super, a package of superhuman qualities that you may never see again. That type of force created by someone running and his strength is just, it's hard to tell people who didn't see him play how amazing an athlete he was.
Bo Jackson and Herschel Walker.
And Herschel Walker too, but and just talk to one of nine Herschel Walker personalities and
you can get the whole OJ Simpson, like you know, he killed even it. After he retired, his Credited. Strength was still
he had the strength.
I mean,
he's strength
it's not easy
men.
To completely,
yes.
you know,
sever
take
ahead.
It all, you know? Yes. So, like I've tried and I only got halfway.
Right.
Sure.
So he's, to get to cut through
to cut all the way through a Jew. It takes a lot.
It takes a hell of a lot.
No, but seriously, the Japanese, like you see it happening now in the exhibitions in basketball.
Yeah.
The rest of the world has caught up to America in American sports.
100%. Yeah, America,
dude,
you can't just put out Bradley Beal and expect.
Oh, dude, we got to start doing a little cloning. We got to make a couple of LeBrons. We got to do what the Russians did, dude.
Bronny's out there, man. He's on his way.
Little Bronny.
Bronny showed out at his AAU game, but no, you're right. Like, we need to put the best players, we need to put the best team out there.
So, you don't want Chris Paul out there? Okay, yeah, obviously he can't play right now, but you don't want that guy? You want what's his face? Jrue Holiday over Chris Paul? That, like, whoever's putting this thing together. So, I'm watching the NBA Finals, and this is relevant to what you just said about Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson was a size and speed that you just don't normally see. You might see guys as fast as Bo Jackson, but they're not as big. You might see guys as strong as Bo Jackson size-wise, but they're not as fast, and they don't have the moves, and they don't have the football IQ, and they can't do that stuff. He put it all together, and it's when you think of, like, Jordan or LeBron. Like, you look at Giannis Antetokounmpo, the other Giannis that matters in sports, but not as much as you. You look at the other Giannis, the other Greek freak, that he, his body is so insane, and the way he can just bully in and just knock people off and then just be standing in front of the rim and just dunk it. It's amazing, but he can't shoot free throws. So you're like, there's a plan to gum up the thing. We can stop him. There's a way to stop him. Whereas, again, you look at Chris Paul and you're like, wow, this dude, you want him to have the ball at the end of the game because he knows what to do. He's never going to make the wrong decision. If he gets fouled, he's going to sink his free throws. He knows how to – he can hit the shot with the Brooke Lopez in a hand over his face. He's amazing. But he's also 6 feet tall. He's probably the best short point guard in history. I would say better than John Stockton. If we could pull John Stockton away from an anti-vax rally, we could ask him about that. But Pull your shorts down and get a prick in your arm. So
we said if his shorts were any higher, they'd be a belt.
If the shorts were any, yeah.
It'd be a miniskirt. Yeah, it's like you're wearing a miniskirt. Yeah.
So, but the idea that like you then start to say, well, Michael Jordan just had the body. He just was it. He was 6'6". He was the right size to take on guards that were smaller than him. He was the right size. He had the ability to jump in a way that people just couldn't guard him, so he could defend and he could do. And he sunk shots and he was a winner. It was like you start to understand why the best of the best of the best. When you see these great players playing right now, you're like, they're still not Jordan.
Right. Well, I was going to say, yeah, I mean, I think he had all that, but then he had that psychopathic mentality. Like being born without emotions.
Yes.
And being like a horrible person helps you in
sports.
Yes.
If you're a horrible person, you'll be a great athlete.
Yeah, because look, Kendall Gill had, for example, just to think of someone random who had that prototype, typical 6'6", with the athletic ability. Kendall Gill, I mean, you put him with Michael Jordan, probably, you know, his vertical's probably similar. Yeah. Same body, athleticism.
He didn't want to rip your throat out.
He wasn't a psychopath. So it's like, would Ted Bundy have been a great point guard? Probably.
Maybe.
Okay, but he took a different path.
He
put up numbers either way. He put up numbers.
He put up insane numbers.
When people talk about the intangibles, you have to include psychopathy as something that is an advantage in whatever you do. You're going to do good.
So let
you're
me
unencumbered
ask,
by emotions. Being unencumbered by emotions is very valuable in a competitive field.
Agreed totally. So let me ask you this, right? Because we just went through Wimbledon where Naomi Osaka was like, I'm not playing.
Because of her feelings, yeah.
She opted out.
Because of her feelings,
yeah. So there is like, so part of me is like, I understand why John McEnroe makes the statement, which he got a lot of blowback for, where he's like, you know, we didn't worry about that shit in my day. Like, you just sucked it up and you played. But then you look, so that's fine, and so we got to see great stuff. But then you're like, well, wait, didn't Bjorn Borg almost kill him? He tried to commit suicide a little bit later. Yeah, that probably had something to do with him
sucking it up
during the times where he probably should have spoken about how he was feeling. Or how about, you know, like that, you start to see like Serena Williams. You can tell, like, she's never going to win another major again. She just is never going to a Grand Slam again because she has a kid. And when you have a kid, you're like, my attention is now, my focus is not on this thing right here. So
she's also 50. So, I mean, she's old.
She is.
She's older.
She is.
Yeah.
Like, remember when we were kids, it's like you were 16, you played till you were 23, and then you were an old. You know what I mean? Capriati. Capriati is another example. She like played when she was 14. Everyone's like, she's amazing. She's great. And then she was like, no, I got to smoke some pot and get out of this thing.
Crack. She did a little crack as well.
Did she do a little crack?
Yeah. I mean, the weed was the nice part. She did a little crack.
She did a little bit of crack.
She did a little crack and then came back and won a major. So,
dude.
And she did that in an Italian family where she was only taught to cook sauce.
Yeah.
So that she even got into tennis and got out of her dad's house.
Yeah.
A lot of credit to Capriati.
Totally. Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of credit. And I was just going to say about Bjorn Borg, that's not a big deal for him because he's Swedish. I mean, Swedes wanting to kill yourself one time a year is just part of their culture.
I mean,
it's just
really
the weather up there.
It
goes dark.
It is gray.
And suicide's just...
It's like their Halloween.
What you do. Yeah.
You just say, like this cold front, it too will pass.
Right. It will pass. And
maybe like you.
It.
You might pass too.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like three quarters of the movie, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. It's like essentially what he had. No, I mean, that's true. But I do think it's good that we're kind of talking about, hey, man, this pressure is a lot. But at the same time, you then have to say to Naomi Osaka, okay, I'm so happy you're having this conversation because people need to talk about how they're feeling about things, and you should keep it out in the open. Is there a way for her to be open about this stuff and at the same time be a champion?
Like, I'm like, why can't she just say, I'm not going to do the interviews afterwards?
Because she has to.
But
just
why?
Listen, babe, she's getting paid millions of dollars. She is always a candidate to win. Just pop a Klonopin and get out on the grass. You're representing. But listen, you can't be too hard on her. Her mother's Japanese, which means, you know, they raise them. You know, the work ethic for the Japanese is a lot harder than we. So, like, we grow up, we're like, what do I want to do? I want to be a comedian. I want to be a comedian with my brother. What do you want to do? I want to sit in my old apartment and do podcasts. We have a different work ethic. Like, I think they handed her a racket while she was in the womb.
The pressure
they just
was
slid
great.
It in there, and they
dude,
said...
a lot of these tennis kids.
I mean,
kids.
You don't... Any kid you see, I think the majority of them, any person you see on the professional... the
You're like, you didn't have a childhood.
Yeah.
You did not
you
have
did
a childhood.
You did this instead of being a kid.
Right. So, and now I feel like people are saying, okay, I need to be a person. I need to be a person. Like, if I... Any gymnast I've ever seen who's like been on the U.S. Olympic team, anyone I've seen interviewed afterwards is like, I wish I had a childhood. They all are like,
like the old story. What's the old story? The guy who's like a CEO, Fortune 500 guy, goes down to this little island. Do you know the story? And he's fishing on this boat with this fisherman, local fisherman.
Who takes him out and he gets him and he goes, I know the spot.
He's like, I have a special spot where we're going to catch fish all day and it's the best. And I know this spot. And they go. And he has the best day of his life. And they catch so much fish. And so the CEO's like, man, let me help you, okay? I make businesses. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get four more boats out here. okay? And we're going to be catching this fish all day long. He's like, I know all the spots in that island. We'll get a boat in every spot, right? And then you'll take the money from all those things, and you don't even have to pay for it. Then it'll be money making itself for itself. I'll contact all these ways to get the fish out to the other places, and you'll make money hand over fist. And then before you know it, you can retire. And he's like, so I can retire so I can come back and do what I'm doing right now?
Right.
I got to do all that goddamn work so that I can come back and do the thing that I love, which we just did all day today.
Yeah, maybe Naomi Osaka's like, I don't want to be the greatest of all time.
I don't want it.
Maybe that's too big a price to pay.
It goes back to what you said. You have to be inherently an asshole. Your drive has to be so strong to want to embarrass other human beings, to want to be the best in a way that isn't human. If you have any shred of humanity inside of you,
you're not going to be a champion.
Be like, I don't need a champion.
I'll take a little taste.
Yeah, I mean, just don't meet your heroes, okay? Because, you know, Seinfeld's a hero of mine. When I met him, he told me, don't look at me in the eye. And I was like, that's why that guy's the greatest.
He is the greatest of all time. Yeah. He didn't say that to us.
It also had something to do with the fact that you had food on the side of your mouth when you did
it. Yeah, I mean, I'm making that up. He was totally nice. Yeah, but,
of course
you know,
he was.
He was totally nice.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we have three stories in the world of sports I want to go through. Giannis Pappas is our guest. And we'll
tell you what he's up to, how to follow him, his podcast, and whatnot.
We'll be right back after this break.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Want to remind people, before we get into what Giannis Pappas is doing and how you can follow him and listen to him, we want to let people know that we started a Patreon this month. It's the Sklar Brothers. Go to patreon.com, search for Sklar Brothers. We are rebooting our old show, Cheap Seats, that we did on ESPN
Making
Classic.
New episodes just for you. We did an international slap fight that took place in Branson, Missouri. That is our episode that's up this month. It is so crazy. We're going to be shooting some more at the end of this month for the
there
next
will
couple
be
months.
Cornhole, I there think, will, is a Paul Thomas Anderson movie.
There will be cornhole.
There will be cornhole. Dude, all the greats, Slippery Stairs, all the shit that you've
wife-carrying competitions.
That you've been asking for us to do.
We are going to do it. And the only way you can do it is go to patreon.com, look up Sklar Brothers, $5 a month. You get a free Cheap Seats. It's not free. It's $5 a month. You get a Cheap Seats episode every month, plus extra content, extra podcast
there
stuff.
There should be thousands of people on this Patreon.
Thousands of you should do it. It's ridiculous.
God damn it. It's fun. All right. That's us. Giannis, you're a great follow on social media. Let people know how to follow you and your podcast so they know what's up.
My podcast is called Long Days with Giannis Pappas. It's a fun sort of weekly recap of what's going on in the culture, trending topics, you know, news stories. It's a lot of fun. And I also do interviews. Just had Dan Soder on. I'm going to have the Sklar Brothers on.
Heard of them. It's a fun thing.
Can't wait to do it. Yes. I can't wait to have you guys on. I'm also just started a sports podcast, for MGM Bets called Unleashed.
Nice.
With Olivia Decker Harlan, who's Kevin Harlan's daughter.
Great
sports announcer. Right, between the eyes.
Yes.
So,
Kevin Harlan.
Yes. Check that out and follow me on all socials, Giannis Pappas, and then check me out on tour with the Sklar Brothers.
There you go.
As the third Sklar Brother. Why don't you guys have a third?
We needed a third.
You found a long-lost brother.
Shemp Sklar.
Yes.
He's like, he just starts a trade-off of
what
we're
doing. Dude, he's got a coke problem, and it's not cocaine. It's just too much regular coke.
And Mexican coke, guys, and I don't want to make this
a
racial
thing.
He
wants you to be like, it's fine, it's Mexican coke. It's
still a lot of sugar,
still,
man.
It's a lot of, too much.
You have adult-onset diabetes.
All right, let's talk about, let's get in some quick hits with Giannis Pappas. Here we go. You ready? The Olympic men's basketball team, we kind of alluded to it before, lost its
two
first
losses.
I mean, they beat Argentina, so that was, I guess, stepping back, but like into the mix. But I mean, what do you think is the problem? Because I actually think Popovich is the best coach and one of the coolest dudes ever. So like, I don't think he's the problem.
They didn't take the right personnel. They don't have the big man, right?
I think the rest of the world has gotten better, guys. I really believe that the rest of the world has gotten better. I mean, you look at Lithuania, you look at a lot of these teams, they have NBA players on their teams. And if not NBA players, they NBA level talent. I mean, it's just because it's gotten better. And I will say fatigue may have something to do with this. Mm-hmm. I mean, because of Corona, what did they have? Like a 2-month break and then they went right back into it?
And then 70 games in 140 days. It's just too much.
So I think fatigue, I think that's why we lost a lot of players, premier players in the playoffs.
To injury.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, lost some
injury. You're telling me the Clippers wouldn't be in the finals if Kawhi didn't go down?
I mean, and now he's really down with the ACL surgery. He's going to be down for next year. So the whole Western landscape is changed. But it's interesting because you say that. Who's the most exciting player in the NBA right now? Luka Doncic. He's not an American, and he's going to play for his country.
And who's the MVP? Jokic.
Jokic. So Doncic Jokic. And Jokic, to me, is the like new Rizzoli and Isles.
You add Nurkic
and look
to
at,
the
And
mix?
The best player, the best all-around player, you got to say, Yanni. So those are three foreign
guys
players
were,
right there.
Exactly.
That's
foreign
it.
Players.
Those, yeah. I mean, truth. Those are the facts. Those are the
that
dominating players.
Well, that shows you how, like, David Stern had a plan. The old rabbi had a plan. I'm going to grow this game internationally in such a way. And the Dream Team coming out and playing in Barcelona in 92 was the beginning of all that. We're going to grow it in such a way. And so, and now, to me, that is the total cashing in of that whole thing, is that who are the best players and players that everybody loves? There are three players that are not American-born. Incredible.
And I think that we have to recognize that. And totally. We have to realize we're a basketball powerhouse, just like Brazil is a soccer powerhouse, Argentina is a soccer, and it's a global game now. So like, we need to send out, we need to like not just throw it together, but throw a bunch of stars together. We got to like pick a team
that can,
get guys
everybody
who
can,
are good for the team. You need like a rebounder.
Right.
You need put guys that gel together. Yeah. Obviously they got the best coach there, but we got to start looking at it like the World Cup. It's like, dude,
I agree.
These teams are better, man. These teams are better now.
It's a great point. All right, let's move on to the Conor McGregor fight, which happened last weekend. And I know we shouldn't pay attention to Jake Paul. It's like watching an accident as you're driving on the highway. If you stop to look at it, you feel like you're contributing to the traffic behind you, and you're like, why are we even doing this? But in some ways, like Jake Paul, like I hate to say, he's kind of on the right side of the argument now. And so the question is, how soon does Conor McGregor devolve to a place where he fights Jake Paul? Jake Paul, who has 4 inches on him and 30 pounds, okay? I think Conor's 5'9", 155. Jake Paul is 6'1",
200.
185 or 195. So, like, he's got 40 pounds and 4 inches, whatever. I mean, this is like a different person fighting a different person. Like, do you think he's too fragile, and is this where this is going? It's like you can't ignore it fully because it'd be a huge payday for Conor McGregor, and that feels like it's all he wants right now.
Well, I think it's not going to happen because I think Tyrone Woodley is going to hurt Jake Paul.
You
so
do?
I think,
do
yeah,
you really?
I do, yeah.
When
I
mean, is that fight?
Say again?
When is that fight happening?
That fight's in the end of August.
Right.
Tyrone Woodley is... I mean, he hasn't won in a little while. He is 40 or something like that. I think he's lost like his last four fights, but he's a former champion. And unlike Ben Askren, who was
not a puncher,
not a striker at
not
all.
Not a striker at all.
Like,
he's a
not
wrestler.
At all. Like,
yeah.
Zero. Tyrone Woodley was a striker. He was a grappler, but he can strike.
Right.
And he can strike hard. He can hit you hard. He knows how to move his head. And so he's going to get hurt because he's a real fighter. So I think... that this Jake Paul will get hurt by him, and then Jake Paul's status will drop. And I think McGregor will never fight Jake Paul because he's already rich, man. He doesn't need.
Yeah.
He can still fight in MMA. That next Poirier fight, when they fight again, I mean, he got like a $25 million payday right there.
I know. And he's
he's the top athlete. He's top of the Forbes list right now.
Dude, he may wind up fighting Poirier's wife, who is crushing him on social media right now. Crushing his ass, like I'm putting a middle finger up to him. All right, so England
he was going to lose. He was going to lose. He was outclassed, and his run is over.
His run is so over. And it isn't. And look, that's the way it is with MMA. Like, you don't in boxing, you know,
Father Time is undefeated. Period.
Father Time's undefeated. But in boxing, there's a guy like, you know, Foreman could come back at 48 and like stay in a fight and get a few like good licks in on a guy and win. You can't do that in MMA
because
there's
it's
nowhere
not about
to hide.
Scoring.
It's not about scoring.
It's like, about destroying.
So one or two, you know, weird plays, your foot, you know, you can't control. As you get older, your foot's going to break when you kick it on someone's elbow. Like, when you're younger, it bounces off. When you've done that for a long time and you're on your way down, he's got osteoporosis. All right.
Also, it's a great point, though, just for the sports nerds. That's a great point because UFC, MMA, you have to worry about so many things, yeah. and there's so many people who have different backgrounds. So if like Connor, he's a striker, or like you look at Ronda Rousey, she went on a run where she fought people who weren't great strikers, and she looked undefeated because she was using her judo and then submitting them. But once she fought two strikers, she got demolished.
Jacked. Yeah.
So it's like Connor McGregor, now that the sport has evolved, while he hasn't been there and they've started incorporating those leg kicks.
Right.
And obviously Khabib showed the blueprint. You just get right into him. Like, people are going to fight him that way from now on. They're not going to stand at a distance and let him strike. So he's over. And so that's why it makes it so hard in MMA to have a long run, is because you're going to face somebody from a discipline that you have a weakness, because everyone has a weakness.
It'll beat in what they their do. Their style can beat your weakness and pick on it. All right, finally, England choked so hard in the Euro Cup this past. I mean, choked so hard.
Choke City.
Multiple chances to win. They sat back after they scored in the second minute, and the subs they brought in at the end, completely cold, had them shoot the last three PKs. I don't understand that at all. I don't understand the strategy of the actual PKs, where they kind of were trying to get cute with it instead of firing it up into the top corner. It just, to me, every single thing about it, to win it, the pressure of being at home at Wembley and winning that thing the first time England was
there.
And
your goalie gave you a shot.
All of that being said, you do not deserve to. It's such a shame that it was like the three black players on England who just got. You're like, at this moment, you're like, oh yeah, all England sports fans are part of the National Front. That's what we've learned at this point right now. It's so annoying. It's like, and I actually, some people on social media are actually getting arrested, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, you know, it's the thing where you realize soccer in Europe is the specific thing that makes you realize how much more racist Europe is than America.
Oh, God, oh, yeah.
It's how like much older more of a racism. Big,
dude, they have whole sections mm-hmm. that are just doing this.
Nazis, yeah.
It's straight like, up Nazis. Yeah. I mean, because, like, you know, you go, like, our right-wing party here is, like, less taxes. And then you go over there, their right-wing party is like, we're Nazis. You're like, right. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know.
So it's
it
like,
is
they're
bad.
So racist over there.
That I was like, I'm like, I wish a white guy would have missed. I was like, I wish that it just wouldn't have been these three young, talented black players who were brought in too late in the game. It just, to me,
they kind of set them up to fail.
It's so rough. It is so rough. But I am glad that people are getting arrested.
It's also rough the way soccer ends. Like, I don't want to start a revolution here, but I should. Mm-hmm. Soccer needs to figure something else out than PKs. Just penalty kicks at the end. It's so anticlimactic, dude.
It is.
I would keep playing. I would say for real, like, I would
sudden death it.
I would like take off a player for each sudden death. So now you're down to like 8-9 players. So there's more space. Like, someone will score in that scenario. And I say, tie
the goalkeeper one arm behind his back.
Just now we're thinking. Or we have a guy on the sidelines that comes out and he has a gun and he just randomly fires onto the field in overtime.
There you go.
So it's a blind guy. He's blind and he's just blind. Firing.
Dude, you're a person in this life who's been shot before. You have been shot in the leg.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You were shot in the leg.
We'll talk about that for our Patreon. But there you go. That is Giannis Pappas. Follow him. Listen to his new sports podcast and his regular podcast. And Long Days with Giannis Pappas.
Long Days with Giannis Pappas.
We'll be right back with more with a voicemail from Nicolas Cage right after this. All right, there you go. Before we get out of here, Nick Cage left us a voicemail. Can't wait to hear it.
Holy shit. Jason, Randy, what's going on? It's Academy Award winner, second Academy Award nominee. Never forget that I was nominated for an Academy Award for the movie adaptation. Nicolas Cage is here. And guys, what a glorious world that we're living in. Stuff is opening up. I mean, Vegas is just back to being Vegas, baby. Yeah. But, you know, the movie theaters are going, and guess who's coming back to theaters, baby? Yeah, Nicolas Cage, July 16th. It's a very simple story about a former chef in the city of Portland, who then decides to give up on chef life to move out into the woods and get a pig that's a truffle hunting pig. That means it's a pig that can sniff out truffles. And I use this pig to then go out and find truffles. But then get this, someone steals the pig, and then I have to go out and exact revenge on everyone who then stole my pig. You know, super simple story, like Nicolas Cage always brings it, easy to follow, easy to get behind. And of course, Cage is bringing it full time, all the time, get in my face. And guys, here's the deal. I will offer out to anyone who brings me a pig. If you can find a truffle hunting pig and bring it to my house in Vegas, guess what? You get 2 half-off tickets to my movie, okay? That's half off. I can't do anything more than that. But all you have to do is just bring me a pig that can hunt truffles to my house in Vegas. I won't give you the address. You have to figure it out for yourselves. But I feel like it's worth it. Ha ha, yeah. So again, July 16th, Nicolas Cage, a former chef, becomes a truffle hunting pig person. And guys, this is the best part. After hearing the full description of this movie, what do you think this movie is called? No, it's not called Rock Awesome fucking Nick Cage in a bar fight with you. Get at me. No, it's called Pig. Holy shit, guys. July 16th, Pig in theaters. There's no need to see Fast and Furious. There's no need to see Black Widow because Pig has it all. But most of all, Nicolas Cage. Bang.
All right. I don't know if he has he become Steven Seagal or is he now past Steven Seagal?
He's in his own
realm. I don't know who I'd to be more worried about, Nick Cage or Vince Neil. Mm-hmm. And like Nick Cage was like the guy who sort of corrected Vince Neil and brought him back to life.
Yeah.
Or at least took him so that he wouldn't start fighting people in broad daylight. They also canceled the they're not doing the Nick Cage Tiger King. Oh. Thing on Amazon. They really? Took that away because they didn't think that was relevant anymore. You know what is relevant? You guys and sports and comedy, and we got more of it. I can't wait to watch the NBA Finals this weekend. There's going to be just great stuff happening. I know it's a very quiet time this week in the world of sports, but guess what? NBA Finals kind of pushed into this week, and now we got it. And so typically a time when it's just baseball, we still got a little bit of basketball left, and then we got some Olympics pre-stuff that, and Olympics coming up at the end of the month, and we'll be guest hosting Jim Rome Show on July 27th, 29th, 30th, August 3rd, and August 5th. So check us out on that. Punch Waterfalls, and we are out.
A podcast network.